Hello and welcome back to another episode of A Bunch of Nuts podcast. I'm Dan. I'm here with Big Cass, and we are back, Big Cass. It's been a while, but it's finally football season. Buckeyes are 2-0, and it's just good to be back doing the podcast again.
Yeah, glad to be back. Fantastic. We've had two fantastic weeks under the Ryan Day era. Liking what I'm seeing so far. There's some tweaks that we have to do, but we'll get into that. But it's glad to be back.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, with Ryan Day being back, it's starting out as the head coach. It definitely has a different vibe to it. But I'm liking what I'm seeing so far. The defense looks much improved from last year. The FAU win, like, we looked pretty good for the first, 28 minutes or whatever that game. We put up 28 points in what, like 10 minutes or something. That was unreal. But we're going to be doing something new on this show. We're going to, go through the highlights of the press conference each week to start each show and just kind of give our thoughts. All these clips are credited to the Ohio State IMG Network. Thank you for allowing us to use them. But yeah, we're going to, hit on three big highlights from Ryan Day's press conference. So here we go. This is the first clip on being the best.
Well, we talk about we want to be the best in the country, and the message to the team is that the issues are still in the film, whether you win, you lose, whatever it is, and the immature player or the immature coach looks at it and says everything's good, and we won, and we won pretty handily, but the facts of the matter are that the issues are on film, and as the level of play increases through conference play and as the season goes on, those issues aren't going to go away. So, the seasoned coach or the veteran player can identify that, be critical of themselves, and again, you've heard it before. If you're worried about the process as opposed to the result, then you're going to be more focused on that. And so, just keep hammering away. And as much as you say it, some of the younger guys don't quite get that. The older guys, I think, do. But we're just going to keep swinging as hard as we can to make sure they understand that's what it is.
He definitely hits on, I think, obviously watching film. Cass, I got a question. What do you think stood out from the game this week? What do you think we have to get better at?
I still think there's some offensive line. What think as a lineman myself, I'm not going to sit here and say I was all state or all county or all league offensive line. But as a guy who watched a lot of football and a lot of film, and as a lineman, there's still a lot of footwork need to be made by the Ohio State offense. They still allow some key rushes. Let's give credit to Justin Fields and J.K. Dobbins for in the pass protection. Don't get me wrong, I think the pass protection was phenomenal by the offensive line. I think the offensive line, what they do struggle is their zone read on zone run game and their regular run game, especially when we come out of power eye, because there's no way, I don't care who you're playing, if you're not playing a Big Ten team, you should not you should be, when you're in a top-notch program like Ohio State, you should be able to get and convert on a 4th-and-1 every time. And I think there are a lot of times the offensive line missed some assignments, and which there are a lot of tweaks. The talent is there with the offensive line. Don't get me wrong. But I think there's a lot of tweaks that they have to deal with, and I still think the offensive line will get better. And so far, they're struggling a little bit, but lucky for Ohio State, they have Justin Fields at quarterback, J.K. Dobbins at running back, and the stack of wide receivers. Mm-hmm. And I would tell you that from week one to week two, J.K. Dobbins really improved himself with the pass protection, and I think he finally found his niche and he came back to the J.K. Dobbins we know from his freshman year with the 140-some-yard offense. I mean, he did a lot of those runs on his own.
Yeah, he's an alpha right now, man. He's like looking like freshman Dobbins. It's great to see that.
Yeah, and I think he saw that and he had to make opportunities, but the offensive line has to get better.
Yeah, I agree with you with the offensive line, because I remember specifically one play in the first quarter last week. I believe it was a 4th down, and they had Justin Fields run the ball, and we just didn't get it. It was a turnover on downs. We definitely have to block, but I feel like sometimes Fields is kind of running for his life. out there. I don't know if it's because he hasn't fully picked up the offense yet, just because, you know, maybe it's just still developed. He's working with the chemistry with some of those wide receivers, or if he is truly under pressure and is going to have to bail us out with his legs some plays. Because I did feel like watching Fields play against some of these teams, he's so much more talented than, like, the players on FAU and UC that, you know, he can rely on his legs. But it also concerns me because I don't want another situation where it's like a JT Barrett versus like a Michigan State where, you know, we kind of abandon the run game and, you know, we kind of rely on our quarterback's legs too much where to the point where, like, we aren't doing anything else other than quarterback draws or QB sneaks or reads and all that. And that's one thing that is kind of concerning me. Obviously, Fields is, I think, a way better passer than JT Barrett. But I'm afraid that they're going to use him kind of like JT Barrett, and that is something that I really want us to kind of stay away from.
Yeah, absolutely, too. And, you know, a lot of people compare, you know, JT Barrett, you know, and Justin Fields, and there's a couple guys I see out of Justin Fields, and I think he's got the arm strength of a Torrey Smith, but the body. And the smartness, I'm not saying Torrey Smith wasn't smart, because he did win a Heisman Trophy, but JT Barrett's one of the smartest quarterbacks we've had in a long time, because he was afraid to fail. He's afraid to throw an interception, and I think that's what we see a lot out of Justin Fields. But also, with the offensive line play, the inconsistent of the tight end play, we had a phenomenal first game with the tight ends, and then the second game, the tight ends were non-existent. So we got to have consistent tight end play. Because if you remember back when we made those runs to the national title in the college football playoff, we had Nick Vinette and Jeff Heuermann, mm-hmm. and then Nick Vinette and Mark Ball. Those were some solid tight ends. Jeremy Rucker showed some flashes that he can catch the ball. We just got to get him to block more. And Luke Farrell has to be that Jeff Heuermann. And that's who he reminds me of. But he has to make that step and that leap to be that Jeff Heuermann.
Yeah, I mean, I was great seeing Jeremy Rucker have that great first game. And then it was kind of a little bit concerning seeing him not get in on any of the action against UC. And he presents so many matchup problems, I feel like, that they got to find a way to use him. That's like, we can't always rely on attacking the outside of the field with these receivers. No matter how great they are, our receivers are playing probably the best ball on this team, in my opinion. That whole unit is dominating right now. But we got to work the middle of the field more. I mean, you know, I think Rucker is a matchup nightmare for some of these, like, linebackers, especially in the Big Ten. You know, you get these, like, you know, these big, buff, slow linebackers who can hit people, but probably aren't the best in pass coverage. And Jeremy Rucker is a player that could really change the game for the Buckeyes, and they need to make sure they keep getting involved. Yes, I like Luke Farrell. He's a great blocker. He's your stereotypical Ohio State tight end. But Jeremy Rucker, man, he is something else. He is a weapon. He is unique. He's a unicorn. He is literally a one-of-a-kind, like, player. And we saw him flash against FAU, and then he did nothing against UC. We need more consistency out of him.
Yeah, absolutely. And he's going to be a matchup nightmare against these undersized linemen against Indiana this week, and we'll get more into the Indiana game. But how about the play? Let's put small size of the field now. The defense, there isn't much to lack upon us. But I will tell you this. People are calling for Damon Arnette to be benched by Sean Wade, but I'm going to tell you this. Sean Wade is probably the best nickel corner defender in the nation.
Yeah.
Him and Jeff Okuda are playing phenomenal football right now. And I fear that if they do make the switch and move away to the outside from the nickel, I think they're going to lose that touch. I think you keep what you're doing with the secondary. You keep Sean Wade as the nickel corner because he's playing phenomenal football. And I'm going to tell you what, and we go in, get lower into there, the linebackers, let's get more in depth with the linebackers, because there's nothing that needs to change with the defensive line. And I can't wait till we get Jonathan Cooper back, because that's just going to add more depth.
Yeah.
But mainly, I want to name one offensive tackle that's going to sit and block Chase Young all season. There is not a single one on our schedule, and I don't even think there's one. I don't even think there's one, even if we get to the bowl games or the playoffs. There is not an offensive lineman, in my opinion, that can block Chase Young.
I think there is one. We don't play Minnesota this year, but that like they have like that 7-foot tackle. I forget his name. Maybe him, but he's kind of raw on his talent and all that. I think technique-wise, Chase Young would dominate him. But if that tackle, I think, got maybe his hands on him. I forget his name. I think he's the big Hawaiian guy, though, from Minnesota. Falele, I think his name is. He might be able to. Other than that, though, I agree, Cass. There isn't a tackle out there.
They're playing a lot better football this year than what I expected. Buck Boylan had that interception, but boy, was that a slow interception or what?
Mr. Ohio tweeted, I don't know if you follow him on Twitter. I don't know if any of the listeners follow Mr. Ohio. He's like some big Ohio State fan on Twitter, has like tons of followers. He tweeted the funniest thing. It was a picture of like a gorilla like running down the field or whatever, because like when Tough Borland intercepted that, that's what he looked like, just like a big mountain gorilla with the ball, like not knowing what to do with it. He's like stumbling and bumbling, and I saw a bunch of the Ohio State players like tweeted it and just started dying laughing, because it was a really good comparison, because it was a great catch, but like he had no idea how to carry that thing or run. It looked like he had like. He was running with, like, weights on him or something.
Yeah. By the way, that interception was courtesy of Sean Wade.
Mm-hmm. It was. You're right. No. 100%
going back
right.
To the linebacker. We need consistent play out of the linebackers like we've been saying. The only consistent player is Malik Harrison. He's all over the field. There's not much we can say about him. But Baron Browning, I thought, had his best game last week. He may not have had a lot of tackles, but I thought he was a lot better in run protection. Still lacks in coverage. Pete Warner is a kid that he just goes hard. He may not be the talentedest guy out there or whatever it is, but he just goes hard. And he plays hard, and that's what the Buckeyes need as a linebacker. But we need more out of Terada Mitchell.
I was just about to say that. Where has he been? It's been two games, and I really haven't seen. I thought he was supposed to be knocking people out, and we really haven't. Has he even had a tackle yet? He's had two tackles.
I'm gonna bring up the stats here.
Yeah, he had two tackles last week against UC, one against FAU, but that is not what I was expecting out of him. And like, I think we've spoken highly about Mitchell a lot on this show, and I just think he needs to step it up because, you know, we were expecting him to honestly be starting, and he's just kind of still stuck to special teams and, like, the second team. And that's just – he just needs to step it up. I would love to see him on the field more.
I got the stats here for our defense here. Just by the way, Jordan Fuller, expected, is the leading tackler, but he comes up and plays run protection very, very well. Malik Harrison – is our and Kessler Peter are tied at 10 tackles apiece. But I'm going to highlight here, Malik Harrison has 4.5 tackles for loss.
Nice.
10 of his tackles are tackles for loss, so. And 5 of them are unassisted, and 5 are assisted. So I love to play out of Malik Harrison. Toronto Mitchell has 3 tackles on the season.
And Brendan White, too. I know he has a sack or two. He's honestly, I think he's playing pretty good in that, the Viper position, they call it. He's playing, he's doing a pretty good job these days, honestly.
I think he's playing very, very well, but I think he needs more plays. I think he needs to be on the field more.
I think, though, they bulked him up too much. That's the thing. He's no longer like a... He's literally like he's like an outside linebacker. Honestly, he's too bulked up now. If you've seen him, it looks like he put on probably like 10-15 pounds this off season. And I mean, he's more of an outside linebacker that can cover at this point. He's not even a safety anymore, in my opinion.
Yeah, just by looking at the stats, Isham has 3 sacks on the season, which is fantastic. I mean, I think two games, that's not too bad. They'll get more as the season comes out.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of things you'll see in the stat that you will not see in the stat line. So I'm liking what I see.
I mean, three sacks is pretty solid so far. That's 1.5 a game. You do that over 12 games, that's a fantastic year.
Mm-hmm. So I'm looking at the total defense for Ohio State, and statistically, on the season, compared to what, I don't have the comparisons, but I just know just the top of my head. Comparison, they've only given up 500 yards of total offense this season on 130 plays.
I feel like we gave up that much against Oregon State last year, just to begin the season.
Yeah, I think we did. Passing yards this season, we've given up 372, and we've thrown the ball for 32. Here's the thing: we're the third ranked rushing defense in the Big Ten. That's just because Wisconsin and Michigan State are playing out of their minds. But we're only allowing 78 yards rushing this season on 1.9 yards per carry.
And that's a drastic improvement, too. I mean, I remember last year we were getting gashed.
Yeah, we were getting gashed, especially if you go back to the Maryland game. We were getting gashed. So total offense here, Ohio State 977, their opponent 501. Ohio State's run 147 yards, and 147 plays, and they're averaging 6.6 yards a play. Their opponent is averaging 3 yards a play. So that's where you need to be. That if you want a successful program in your first two games, in my opinion, they're coming off of a defense that was very, very bad. Mm-hmm. Ohio State is looking on par for this season.
And let's also mention this: FAU and UC. Those are two very good non-conference matchups. I know there's a lot of, like, ignorant fans of other teams out there that say, "Oh, FAU and UC. Who are those people?" They have no idea what they're talking about. FAU won like 10 games a year ago, I believe. FAU is a great Group of Five program. I mean, they're probably one of the top five Group of Five programs right now. They're up there with a UCF, a Houston, like one of those types of teams. And then UC, I mean, UC should be ranked. They should have been ranked going into our matchup. That was honestly my opinion on that.
Totally agree with you. Uh-huh. I think Cincinnati. I'm comparing because everybody wants to compare Clemson and Alabama. Okay, Clemson hasn't. Okay, we'll give Clemson. They played Texas A&M and they played Georgia Tech, and then they got Syracuse. So we're going to throw them out of the mix because they're playing their second conference game. So we're going to throw them out.
Yeah, that's fine.
Let's take the other three teams ahead of us. We'll throw LSU out because LSU has played a conference game, I believe. But no, LSU by far has the toughest schedule of the teams ahead of us: Oklahoma, LSU, Georgia, Alabama, Clemson. We'll throw Clemson out because they're playing their second conference game.
Georgia has played Murray State and Vanderbilt. That's all I'm going to say about that.
And they got Arkansas State this week.
Georgia is not that good. I'm sorry. I think they really messed up by letting Fields go. Jake Fromm, they're going to rue the day they let that guy, start 3 years. I think he is going to be very exposed this year. I know they have that good receiver who made that ridiculous catch in training camp, Demetrius Robinson. And I know they have DeAndre Swift, but I think there's a lot of holes in that Georgia team. I think they're not as good as what people make them out to be. I think they're going to lose to Florida, and they're going to probably lose to another team in the SEC East.
I wouldn't go that far, but because Florida's pretty bad too. The SEC in my opinion, I still think Georgia's really good, but DeAndre Swift's a stud. Jake Fromm is a manageable quarterback. He kind of reminds me of a last year version of Joe Burrow, in my opinion. But Joe Burrow's playing phenomenal. We'll get more into him later. But looking back, if you want to compare schedules between two teams, and I think they should flip. And I think the only reason why they're not flipped is because Jalen Hurts plays for Oklahoma. Oklahoma played Houston, blew them out, but allowed 31 points at home. Then they play South Dakota State, who wins 70-14, a lot of points. Ohio State has only allowed two touchdowns all season on defense. and they played for Atlantic and Cincinnati. In my opinion, Ohio State should be number 5, and Oklahoma should be number 6. If you want to compare anybody, and then anybody's schedule, and then you go back to Alabama.
I'm fine with Oklahoma being higher than us because I think they're doing it a little better than us on offense right now, and I guess they got the benefit of the doubt last year by making the playoff. I'm fine with that. I just don't see how Georgia's ahead of us. I really don't because they didn't look good last year. They lost their bowl game against Texas. Texas just got manhandled at home by LSU. I know it's last year, but I'm just looking at this stuff. And, I mean, other than that one run that Georgia had, I mean, they play Notre Dame in a few weeks. I think Notre Dame's honestly going to win that one. Notre Dame, I mean, they have some problems, but it was more offensive. Looks like they were just kind of adjusting the book, you know, in this whole offense because they lost Dexter Williams. They're going to have to find a new running back. But I think Notre Dame's going to honestly beat them. And then I think they're also going to drop one to either Florida, Auburn, or Texas A&M. They have those three teams. Or maybe even Kentucky. Kentucky's a good program. So Georgia's going to have to prove themselves. I just don't think they're there. I mean, they gave up 17 points to Murray State. Well, like, was Ja Morant playing? No. But, I mean, who does Murray State have?
I think, all honesty, I don't know. I think Auburn can beat them. I don't trust Auburn. I really don't. I know they came back and they're getting a lot of love right now, but they don't beat Tulane 24-6.
Yeah, and I'm getting the Bo Nix. We need to address this right now. Bo Nix, their quarterback, he is the new Dwayne Haskins, and in the fact that every time you see him play. You know how they used to show the Dwayne Haskins video of him, oh, I want to go to Ohio State, and like it was cute and all for like the first like 2 weeks. The Bo Nix picture is him at the national championship game in his Auburn gear, taking a picture with Cam Newton, and the media is gonna beat that to death for the next 4 months, man. Actually, no, next 2 years, because I think he's a freshman. His whole entire Auburn career, we're gonna have to deal with this. So this is gonna be like the Dwayne Haskins video. On steroids, man. We're just be prepared to be sick of it.
And if Texas would beat LSU, all we're going to hear is how Sam Ellinger grew up a Texas fan and always wanted to play for Texas. But I'm glad they lost. But going back to Ohio State now, I like the position. People complain that they're dropping in the pools. The only pools that matter is what comes out week 8. That's all that matters.
It really does. It just... I know Sean Wade's father tweeted he didn't want the podcasters to be complaining about the polls. And I know Randy's got a good point. But, Randy, it does matter because here's why it matters, in my opinion. The SEC, when these teams in the SEC get ranked for no reason other than the fact that, you know, they have some preseason hype, when Alabama or, you know, another good SEC, let's say LSU beats these teams, it just inflates their rankings. And it's like a self-fulfilling prophecy. Like, do you see the problem there? If, like, you know, you rank Texas A&M high because, you know, they kept it close with Clemson. Well, when, you know, say when Georgia beats Texas A&M, oh, wow, they beat a ranked A&M team. But, like, how good is A&M, you know? They're not, but they're still ranked like 15 right now. And when if a team beats them, oh, they're ranked 16. Correction, they're ranked 16. I don't think they're worth a 16 ranking. I think they're more of like a 20. They should be a little like lower. But that's what's going to happen. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy.
I think that A&M duped themselves when their idiot offensive lineman guarantees victory. People need to sit down with student athletes and say, shut up about guaranteeing a victory because it hasn't worked out since Jim Harbaugh beat Ohio State in 1984.
Yeah. Oh, man. Speaking of Jim, I kind of wanted to wait to talk about this, but this needs to be addressed. I really can't wait. I couldn't wait. How about Army? Taking that team up north in the overtime. I believe it was double overtime. I caught the ending of the game because I was at the UC game, actually. But But I was sitting in Pita Pit watching that game, and how shameful must it be to be a Michigan fan right now? I mean, you didn't look that good against Middle Tennessee. That game wasn't that close. I mean, that game wasn't a blowout. You looked vulnerable against Middle Tennessee, and then you go into double overtime against Army, a team that runs the triple option. I know it's the same offense that Jim Harbaugh runs these days, but you can't have that happen. I'm sorry, you just can't.
If I was a Michigan fan, thank God I'm not. I'd be calling for Dylan McCaffrey over Shea Patterson. I think the offense works better with Dylan McCaffrey and our quarterback than Shea Patterson.
I actually agree. Yeah.
I think Shea Patterson is the overhyped guy that called out Justin Fields on Twitter and then tried to hide it, and now he's looking like he's looking terrible about it. He is not. He was so much better last year than he is this year. Granted, it is 2 weeks into the season, so a lot of football playoff to be played, and Michigan fans say, well, you guys almost lost to Navy and lost to Virginia Tech and they came back and won a national championship. But guess what? The Big Ten, and in my opinion, the Big Ten is so much better this year than it is last year, because not only do you have to worry about Penn State, you got to worry about Ohio State also, Michigan State, Notre Dame, and the Terps. Those are the five teams that in Wisconsin next week. You could have six losses on your schedule if you don't play better. You have to play better if you're Michigan. Right now, after 2 weeks of watching them play, they have six losses unless they do a 180 turnaround going into next week when they go up to Madison.
Gotta also watch out for Rutgers. They're 1-1, man.
What?
I'm telling you, Rutgers, all right, I'm going to go out of a limb here, but I'm telling you this, Rutgers is going to upset someone this year. I don't know who, but their quarterback play is much better. They have, what's his name, Raheem Blackshear, yeah. Isaiah Pacheco. 1-2 punch in the backfield. They got that transfer quarterback. He's from Texas Tech. That's a decent team now. They're still only going to win probably 4 or 5 games max, but watch out. They could be like a Purdue.
That's possible. That is possible, but I'm not getting my hopes up on that. But I will tell you, the team that kind of concerns me on their hot start is Maryland. Because every year they get in these hot starts the past 2 seasons, they're coming 2-0, they demolish everybody, they demolish their 2 opponents, including, you know, those 2 teams, you know, they did play Texas and they did demolish them. They find a way to go back to reality and let's see if Maryland can get back into the groove of things. I don't even know, get back to anywhere. Could it be overhyped right now? I mean, I don't know. They blew out Syracuse, which I think they overhyped Syracuse so bad for Clemson, in my opinion.
I think Maryland has 2 key things going for them. I think Mike Locksley is head coach. I think that's a really good fit for them. I think he's really good at motivating players. I know Haskins and other players have said great things about Locksley. 2, their running back is a stud. McFarland, like, probably one of the best running backs in the Big Ten. 3, Josh Jackson at quarterback. I think that's a huge upgrade for them. He's a transfer from Virginia Tech. Huge upgrade.
Yeah.
And then 4, they got Keandre Jones, former Buckeye. I think he won a Player of the Week award for them last week, and I know he's playing great for them. So, Maryland, I'm not sold on them yet. I do think they will make a bowl game. I'm projecting probably, like, 7 wins for them. I don't think they'll be ranked, though, come season's end.
No, I don't think so either. And like I said, going back to Michigan, if they don't do a drastic turn, they're 6-6 ball team, in my opinion, unless they do a drastic turn. Their defense is not as good as it was last year. They do have, I do like their running back. He is a freshman running back.
Cabernet.
I like him. But Jim Harbaugh needs a spark, and it's got to start next week against Madison. And if that doesn't change, you're going 7-5 and 6-6, in my opinion, because as of right now, you're losing, in my opinion, and I don't know how they're still favored over Ohio State after two games, but and they're favored over everybody, I think, but you're losing to Notre Dame, you're losing to Michigan State, you're losing to Wisconsin, you're going to lose to Penn State, you'll lose to Ohio State, and you may lose to
Iowa.
Maryland. Or Iowa.
Yeah.
If you do drastically change your ways.
Yeah, that's a brutal schedule. That's a real brutal schedule, honestly. I'll give them credit for scheduling Notre Dame. I will give them credit there. They will not receive any credit for scheduling Army just because it went into overtime. That's embarrassing. But
and how embarrassing do you have to be to jump in the stands after you go into double overtime with Army? Granted, Army is a good football team, but it's not like you just beat Ohio State in double overtime or Alabama in overtime or Clemson in double overtime. You beat Army in double overtime and your players jumped in the student section.
It's honestly disrespectful to the troops too, honestly, when you think about it.
I did like what they did, and Ohio State did it, and a lot of and Oklahoma did it also, that they did sing Army's alma mater with them, and that is awesome, but you left an Army general's son lay on the field because you beat them in double overtime. And in my opinion, the refs handed you guys that game.
Mm-hmm.
So that's done Michigan card. That's in the past. They don't play this week. They get ready to play Wisconsin. But we do have a ball game this week. And that's Indiana.
And I guess speaking of the victors, I want to bring up a different type of victor, Ben Victor. Ryan Day had some high praise for him in his press conference. This is the second clip I want to get to, Cass, so I'm about to play this one. Here we go.
Yeah, I think Ben is important for us as we go forward. You know, that one drive, we threw a back shoulder fade to him, and that kind of got us going. He's the X receiver, and if he's in a one-on-one matchup and he can win that one-on-one matchup, and that changes schematically how teams are going to defend us. But you know, he's got to be that guy. You know, he's got to be the Terry McLaurin for us last year, the Paris Campbell and Johnny Dixon, those guys. And when he makes that big play, that got us going on that drive, and he's done that so far. So now that we get into conference play, he's going to have to continue that.
So yeah, let's just talk about Ben Victor here for a second, because I know a lot of people honestly didn't have this guy projected to, you know, be starting this year, not having a big year. I just like to take a moment to bask in all these fools' terrible takes, because I've always been on the Ben Victor train, Cass, from day one. You know I've been on the Ben Victor train.
Yeah, I'll give you that. You have. And I said at the beginning of the season before we started, you know, jumping back into the podcast, and I think I said it during spring ball when our last episode that we did during springtime, I said this is going to be the year of Ben Victor, and it's starting to be that way. Ben Victor looks like a mini AJ Green, but they look like the same player out there, honestly. I mean, AJ Green obviously not playing right now with a sprained ankle that happened during open practice at a Dayton college, which they shouldn't have been practicing because the field was all jacked up. But we'll get that for another day in another podcast. But I'm really impressed with Ben Victor. The talent has always been there, but I think his mindset has never been there. And now we're finally seeing it, that it's his time to shine. His wide receiver crew, maybe more talented than the Paris Campbell and Terry McLaurin, which Terry McLaurin's tearing it up in the NFL after week one.
He is. I started him last week, by the way. I just want everyone to take – I want to take credit for that. I had Antonio Brown. He's very problematic these days. Benched him, started Terry. Greatest play of the year so far.
Yeah. I think the talent level is there with his receivers, not only with Ben Victor, but he is being a stud right now, being a great leader. And I think a guy that's starting to look up to him because he has the same about – probably got about the same size, and that's Garrett Wilson. These two guys, I think, are playing and having phenomenal. KJ Hill is being KJ Hill, and it's great to see Austin Mack out there making receptions. It's great to see Chris Olave But I think the biggest flashes, and I don't know if you guys listened to another podcast, and that's, you know, Minister Society with Zach Smith. You know, it's a fun podcast to listen to. Go listen to it. You know, if you want to hear, you know, the Zach Smith. You know, we'll get more of that. But he said on his podcast this week that Ohio State needs that flash. Yeah, the offense is doing a great job of moving the ball down the field, but they don't have that. They haven't had that player just go out that they can count on to make that 70-yard play out of a 10-yard pass like Michael Thomas and Devin Smith used to, Paris Campbell did. And I think we're starting to see that with Garrett Wilson and then Victor. They just got – it's got to produce more. And what Ben Victor is doing not only on the field, but he's also doing it in the film room and in practice. I am really proud – to be jumping on the wagon with you on the Ben Victor bandwagon.
Hail to Ben Victor. That's all I'm going to say.
Yes.
Yeah, hail to Ben Victor. But no, but on a serious note, I mean, the dude's leading the receivers right now. I think he has 7 catches for 134 yards. He looks fantastic. I mean, I think he has the best rapport with Fields. I honestly believe this. I think when Fields wants a big play, he's going to look deep to Ben Victor. I mean, look what happened in the spring game. That, like, 90-yard touchdown bomb Fields threw in the first game against FAU. He threw a huge touchdown pass to Victor. I truly think Fields has a really, like, he really trusts Victor in a big spot. And then, I mean, if we remember last year from the Penn State game, Victor came up clutch there. So I think this team, you know, really has come to trust Victor as, you know, as that guy who can go up and make the big catch in a clutch moment. I know, I mean, I love KJ Hill, but KJ Hill, he's more of a volume guy. You're going to look to, you know, get him the ball as many times as you can a game. But in a clutch situation, I'm going to Victor.
Yeah, I have the receiver stats right here. KJ Hill leads the team with 11 catches, in my opinion.
They're not for many yards.
Yeah, 11 catches, 78 yards. So he's getting a lot of first downs. Benjamin Victor, 7 receptions, 134 yards, 19 yards catch. And Chris Olave, 7 catches, 128 yards, 18 yards catch, both 1 touchdown. So right there's your 1-2 punch at wide receiver. Your 2 first down guys are Austin Mack and KJ Hill. And then you throw in, then you can throw in Garrett Wilson. Yeah, he has 1 catch, 9 yards, but you're going to start seeing a lot more of him, in my opinion, as the season goes on.
I was lucky enough to witness the first touchdown of Garrett Wilson's career on this past Saturday. I actually got it on video, and honestly, it was a nice introduction to Buckeye football for Mr. Wilson. I mean, he's obviously going to – I don't think he's going to fully contribute until a little later on in the season. I think obviously he played near there because it was kind of a blowout. He's still kind of getting his feet wet, but I really like what I see from him. I mean, he's going to be a great player. It's just going to take a little bit of time, and we don't need him to be the great player, though, right now. We just need him to keep growing. That's the key with Ohio State. We have Victor. We have Mack. We have KJ Hill. We have Olave. We just need Garrett Wilson to keep getting better every day, and I know he will. And he's, I mean, from week one to week two, it looks like he's, you know, gotten so much better.
Yeah.
So
he's also the background on my phone too. I change it every week. I'm gonna do this every week. To my favorite picture, because Ohio State releases pictures out for the game, and I find my favorite picture, and he completely Randy Moss that guy for a touchdown. And that's my background on my phone for this week, and then next week, obviously on Sunday, I'll change it to a different background from the Indiana game. But I'm going to have to go just jump into the quarterback play. Justin Fields completing 76% of his passes. There's no interceptions for him. 38 of 50, no interceptions, 6 touchdowns. And our boy Chris Juggernaut, 3-for-3 on the season with 100% quarterback percentage. How about for Chug? Chug for Chug.
Chug for Heisman. My man, Chug. I'm confident in Chug, honestly. If Fields went down, I'd be pretty confident that Chug could win a couple games. I mean, he wouldn't beat a ranked team, but I think he could beat he could 100% beat like an Iowa at home.
Yeah, he could go in Iowa.
Not at Iowa, but at home, I think he could beat an Iowa.
Yeah, I mean, we hope he does. We hope Fields doesn't go down because with their schedule coming up, especially in the Big Ten, with everything. So. Ryan Day had some interesting things to say about Indiana, and Dan will play the clip here in a few minutes, but let's dive into the Indiana game this week.
Yeah, I mean, Indiana, the thing about Indiana is they're always a pesky opponent. I feel like there's good. Every time we play Indiana, there's always like that like 15-minute period where they're beating us for a little bit, and we're kind of like worried, like, oh my God. This is what's going to happen. This is the year they finally do it. They're going to beat us, and then we eventually pull it out. What comes to my mind is the year where Zeke had those three touchdowns. I posted the video today in the Bunch of Nuts account, but that year where you know Zeke basically had to carry us to a victory. Even the year before that, when Jalen Marshall went off against Indiana and saved us. I remember like 2 years ago, I believe Indiana was leading us when beating us when we were in Bloomington. So, I mean, they're always a decent opponent. I don't fear them because I think we will win it by the time we make halftime adjustments. But they are so pesky, and their quarterback might be out. So that could change the whole game plan.
They're annoying. They're straight up annoying. They're a team. Doesn't matter who they play. They might lead the nation in the past 5 years with – more. They might lead the nation with so many losses under 10 points. Mm-hmm. They're always game. They're annoying. This game will be on 12 noon on Fox at Indiana. And it's picture day for the Hoosiers because this is the day, and I think our little buddy, Tennessee Jeff, for the next two away games, because one is at Nebraska and the other one's at Indiana, says wear white, not scarlet, because it's the team's picture day next week at Indiana.
Oh, that's right. I heard this on 97.1. This is the day that, yeah, wear white. That's a key because this is the day where they end up taking the whole photo for their yearbook or whatever, and they sell it to their like season ticket holders. So let's do some damage, Buckeye fans. Wear white or black, just not red, because it makes it seem like all Indiana fans showed up, and it's really just all Buckeye fans.
Maybe Ohio State should wear their black unis for this game.
I would honestly be down for that. I think those black unis, we have to rock them at least once on the road.
Or wear the gray. Remember a couple years ago against Penn State, wear the gray ones. I mean,
yeah.
Rock, how about this? Rock Memorial Stadium in Bloomington in all gray.
I feel like we got to go black for that. I say gray, go gray for the Indiana one.
Black would be for the night game. Actually, that game might be at 1 o'clock. I think it changed since Nebraska decided to lose to
Colorado.
Colorado. But I say when we go to play Nebraska, we bust out all blacks, and we wear black to Lincoln.
I'm a fan of that, honestly. I think... Didn't we wear black against Nebraska last year? I think we did.
Yeah.
Just bring it back.
I was at that game. We're gray next week. This week against Indiana, because it's their picture day, and then we're black when we play Nebraska, and then when we play, well, why not? When we play Rutgers, we could go just wear all white.
Yeah, I'm fine with that against Rutgers. So let me play this clip by Ryan Day. This is his thoughts on the Indiana game. I'll warn everyone. It's pretty vague in general, but I'm gonna play it anyway. So here it is.
Excited to get going this week with practice today. After looking at the film of Indiana the first couple days and you know their first couple games, they got a good team. You know, a couple years into the system on defense, guys on that side flying around and. You know, they're doing a good job with the new coordinator there on offense. So, you know, we know going on the road, first conference game in the Big Ten, every time we play Indiana, it's a tough game. Those guys always come ready to play, and so we got our hands full early on, but looking forward to get going with practice today.
So, yeah, I was pretty vague, but pretty standard answer by a coach, but what are your thoughts, man?
Well, being an opening statement to your weekly press conference on Monday, it is. And I can't wait for his opening press conference against Miami, Ohio next week. This is going to be awesome. I mean,
they're a really good team. We can't wait to go out and practice today. They're really good in the MAC. They're really.
We'll find out what they're all about when they play Cincinnati this week. But going back to the com, it is right pretty bland. But it's a game that you have to get these kids up for, and I think that's what he's trying to do is. Trying to explain, hey, like he did last week to Cincinnati, he could have done a better job. I, in my opinion, if Urban Meyer was the head coach, we wouldn't have won 42-0. In my opinion, I love Urban Meyer. I think Cincinnati would have squeezed in a score there, and we probably would have won 38-12 or something like that.
Yeah, but I see that.
I think Ryan Day is bringing a different approach to this. To this football team and making them play with a chip in the shoulder, saying that each team that they do play has a chance to win. Because I think he found that out when we played Florida Atlantic. I think we coasted, and I think the whole time against Cincinnati, we put the pedal to the metal until it said, hey, we're going to put our backups in now.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I just feel like on Indiana, there's no one that really scares me. I know their quarterback Penix. Be careful how you pronounce that, by the way. That's the running joke in all the Ohio State media this week. It's Penix. I mean, you do the spelling. What does that spell like? I don't know. But that's here nor there nor anywhere. But Penix is probably going to be out. So looks like they're going to start Peyton Ramsey. Ramsey was pretty good against us last year. I think he tossed a couple touchdowns.
I've got their stats right here. Michael Penix Jr. is 38 of 60, completing 63% of his passes for 8 yards an attempt. Not scary at all because he's thrown 3 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. And in my opinion, Peyton Ramsey is the guy that needs to do. He's 13 of 14, 226 yards, completing 92% of his passes for 16 yards an attempt. I think that's the guy to keep in mind. And they have Stevie Scott, the running back, 31 carries, 109 yards. So no one in their running game scares me at all. They do have Watt Filer.
He's a good receiver. And they have Nick Westbrook.
Nick Westbrook. He's only got 3 receptions this week here. 103 yards, and that's one of it's a 75-yard touchdown. So, and then I like the Filer kid that's interceptions. He's going to be the guy he's averaging 14 yards a carry, a reception. So he's the guy to watch out for. But their place kicker is Logan Justice, who I had in the All Big Ten, the Pittsburgh Bulletin All Big Ten kicker. Logan Justice, just because I had to throw an Indiana guy in there, but he's phenomenal. He's kicked a 50-yard field goal this year. He's 4-4 on, he's the points maker this year. So basically, if Indiana scores, it's going to be a field goal. But I think I think Ohio State will be there yet.
I just want to take a moment, Cass. I'm sorry to cut you off, but I just want to. I gotta read some of these 11 Warrior comments about Michael Penix being out. I'm like, just get ready for these, all right? Indiana's Penix is injured. I have little doubt that Penix will be thrust into action. Probably best he sits out. Indiana doesn't want to have their Penix folded in half on Saturday. That would be ballsy. He could get a swollen head. Oh my God. Good tip. Oh my God. Some of these are honestly. Oh my God. If Penix can't perform, they will certainly have a large hole to fill. Stiff test. My God.
And what's weird is going back to these comments is their first win was against Ball State.
Okay. Oh, man. He balled out against Ball State.
And then they won 52-0 against Eastern Illinois. So they – and next week they got UConn. So when they go into the Michigan State game on September 28th, they'll be 3-1.
Yeah, I mean, that's a solid record. And then knowing Indiana, they'll somehow finish like 6-6.
Here's the upset pick of the year. Rutgers over Indiana, October
12th. Yeah. Yep. Lock that in.
Lock it in. And tickets for this game on Vivid Seats are going low as $27.
It's a real shame. I'm working this Saturday till noon, so I'm going to miss kickoff. I'll be active on Twitter and do like the, you know, the video and all that stuff. I do the halftime reaction and the post-game reaction. But yeah, I'm a little bummed I'm missing. I would like this game, if you can make it, I recommend all fans go to Bloomington. It's not that far of a drive. It's a decent,
wear gray.
It's a decent day trip. Why not? Tickets are $27. Honestly, when you combine gas and food, you'll probably spend just as much, if not a little less than a Buckeye game. So go have some fun in Bloomington. It's a great chance to go see a Buckeye victory. It's an away game. I'd do it.
So, predictions on this game, keys of victory, keys of victory for this, don't get complacent, go out and play Ohio State football. I'm going shot in the dark game because it's Indiana all the time. We will score the least amount of points that we have all season at 41.
We're going to kick two field goals?
I think we might get safety out of this or something, and I don't know. Maybe we'll get something out of it. But I'm going to go 41-10. I think that second team defense of Ohio State would have been not great last week, but being on the road late in the game, they might get a big long field goal earlier in the game. They might go 41-3, and then they'll get a late touchdown and be 41-10. Final score, Ohio State.
Yeah, I mean, I think Stevie Scott, the running back, he's a solid player. I think he might, you know, have a decent game. I could see him maybe breaking 100 yards just because I don't think our defense has really played a running back like him yet. I think he's your stereotypical, you know, like a Jordan Howard type halfback that Indiana, like, has. You know, he'll probably go to the NFL, be like a late-round draft pick, play good against us. So I think Stevie Scott's going to have a big game, so we're going to have to contain him. That's a big key to victory. And also Peyton Ramsey. Make sure him and Stevie Scott don't really do that like weird kind of like option thing they were doing last year. It was like, you know, I remember Ramsey. It was an option, but like he was like pulling the ball a lot, and like the quarterback was making us pay with his legs. So let's contain Ramsey or Penix, whoever starts. I mean, it looks like it's going to be Peyton Ramsey. Stop Stevie Scott. Like, we got to make sure this D-line, you know, had a great two first games, but they got to really make sure that, you know, they contain this Indiana attack. And then my second key to victory is, I know we had J.K. Dobbins. I know he's played great. But we got to – I want to see us get Master Teague involved, because Ohio State running backs always have monster days against Indiana, whether it's Zeke Elliott or J.K. Dobbins. I think this year it's going to be the Master Teague show this game. I have a feeling that, you know, we're going to get him a touchdown or two, and they're going to be so focused on Dobbins that they don't really realize that, you know, Master Teague has been quietly having a fantastic 2019. I mean, he has 109 yards on 19 carries. I could see Ohio State using him as like a change of pace back and really kind of messing with Indiana.
What's your prediction?
Ooh, I'm going to say, 48. I think we're going to drop a lot of points on him. I'm going to say 48-24. Yeah, I think Indiana will keep it close in the first, and then we'll pull away in the second. I think they'll score a couple touchdowns in the first half. They'll probably score about 14 to 17 points, enough where it'll be close. But then we'll just pull away in the second half, and we'll drop 48 on them because we'll keep we won't let off the thrusters until like the very end, and they'll probably sneak in a garbage time touchdown. That's my prediction.
Yeah, right now the spread is 17.5 points.
It's actually it was at 14, so we've gained 3 points. So that's good to see.
It depends what you look at. B-Trader's 17.5. Unibet is 18. William Hill is 15. Westgate is 17.5. And Caesars is 18. So we'll go right in the middle and have to say Ohio State's 16-point favorite.
Yeah, I concur. Speaking of Vegas and all these odds, how has Justin Fields, I think, was a 6-1 Heisman, Heisman-like favorite when the season began. He has now dropped 10-1. What has he done to drop 10-1 is my question. Because I'm very annoyed by this.
It's the line of college football. I mean, he's doing what he needs to do, and the thing is, people don't like that. They want a guy that's just going to completely break out like a Joe Burrow, which I'm going to bring up. I'm actually going to bring up all the odds right real quick.
No, it's like, it's honestly making me angry because I'll give you another player. Rondale Moore, Purdue. He killed us last year. And this season, he's having an unreal start. I think he's had 100 yards his first game and 200 yards his second game. And his odds have dropped too. How is he, what has he done to lose odds is my question. Because you can make, like, yes, he's 24 catches, 344 yards. I am a huge Rondale Moore fan, and I don't think he deserves, like, yeah, they beat.
Inspiration.
What's that? Uh-oh, commercial. Get out of here. Looking at the ads. We just plugged the free Nissan ad. You hate to see that. he caught 11 catches for 124 yards against Nevada. They lost, but that's not his fault that they lost. Purdue stinks most of the year. And then they beat Vanderbilt 42-24. So Georgia gets credit for that, but Rondale Moore doesn't? I don't understand this.
I don't either. Trying to bring up the odds. Here, 24/7 sports. So that's from January. The board. Update your freaking odds, people. It's 24/7 sports. Come on. Alright. Here we go. Oddshark.com. The most trendiest player right now at +300, Trevor Lawrence, +400, Tua, +600, Jalen Hurts, +750, Joe Burrow, Jonathan Taylor +1200, Justin Fields +300, Jake Fromm +16, and Shea Patterson still +5000. How in the world is he still on plus?
I don't know, man.
Nate Martell is still on this list.
He might come in and save the season for the U.
Yeah. Get this. Oh, my Lord. Oh, Tate Martell has a better odd chance to win the Heisman Trophy winner over these five players. This is just, get with the program, people. Tate Martell has a better odd at +6,600 over Bo Nix, J.K. Dobbins, K.J. Costello, Rondale Moore, and they're all at +8,000.
Wait, J.K. Dobbins is that low?
I am telling you right now, this is as of today, September 12th, 2019, Tate Martell, and I am taking a picture of this right now.
Yeah, we're posting that on the account. We're posting that on the Twitter account ASAP after this ends. Wow, that is ridiculous. One more thing I guess we got to touch on before we wrap up here. Ohio State lost a trademark, man. They did not get the trademark.
because I don't know. I thought it was funny because I still say Ohio State, and if it wasn't for, I forget what player it was on back in the early 2000s that beat Ohio State on during their Sunday Night Football thing. But ever since then, everybody started calling the Ohio State. They tried to get it trademarked. Don't worry about getting the trademark Ohio State. Just worry about what the product is on the field, what the school is. Michael Drake, you have other things to worry about than trying to trademark me.
Yeah, and you know what? Their loss is our gain because now we can officially merchandise shirts that just say "the" on it with the state of Ohio, and it's not copyright. So I'm probably going to do that in the next couple months. Might get sued, but you know what? They can't do anything because they got denied. So I have just as much a right to "the" as anyone else.
And I just sent you that picture.
Oh, man. All right. So I guess that's going to do it for this episode of Bunch of Nuts. Thanks for listening, and go Bucks.
Go Bucks.